There are some unacknowledged wonders of the world. You are about to witness the eighth.
Your attention, everyone.
All this is regrettable, but there's no cause for alarm.
That's right. Back with the Regrettable Podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Massey. Of course, with me, both excellent co-hosts, the legendary Jay Lindley. How are you, sir?
What's up, homie?
And of course, my brother, Patrick Massey. That's what they used to call him.
And, yep. Most regrettable.
All right. Drinking on the Stone Cloud.
Ooh.
Which they brought that light beer to its permanent line, if I'm not mistaken.
I think I saw that on their socials.
I think I saw something like that.
After full approval from
Regrettable.
Yeah. The Regrettable stamp of approval.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Regrettable stamp of approval, I got a message today from a listener of the podcast that had their Spotify Wrapped playlist for the 2023. Their number one podcast was Regrettable.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
That was cool.
If you know, you know on this one. Not everybody knows.
No.
But true. When you know, they know.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're always top. We were top last year for Jen. I know that.
Nice.
And top for me, definitely.
Nice. I like it.
It's just, Patrick?
Oops. I'm subscribed.
Yeah.
On Spotify?
No, I don't use Spotify. I'm going to have to.
Subscribed on then.
I'm going to Google Podcasts, which is going away at the end of the year. So all the podcasts I listen to keep having ads play at the beginning and end saying that Google is getting rid of its podcast platform. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to find something else. I'm like, ah. Because there's some podcasts that I'm still like working my way down, you know, and it shows, you know, how much I've got left on this one or if I've listened to that one. I'm going to lose all that. I'm going to lose all my history by switching over. And it's like one of them, I was looking the other day, it was like 500 episodes. I think I've listed every single one of them. It's a badge of honor when I get to look. It's every one of them completed checkmark next to it.
Yeah.
Lose all that. Lose all my progress.
Darn it. Your achievements.
I know, right?
Yeah. Some of them I like listen to twice. This thing is, listen to a podcast, especially the ones I listen to or try to be a little more informative, maybe it's history or politics or something like that. Like, it's so easy to not listen to them as well. You know, I'm a terrible multitasker. If I'm doing anything besides attentively listening to the podcast, I will forget it very quick.
You're not retaining it.
Not retaining it whatsoever.
So many podcasts out, dude. Everybody has
one.
Oh,
man, I know.
Literally everybody.
Yeah, when I got that, I was like, oh, that's kind of neat. And so I went to Spotify on my phone, kind of looked at like the top podcasts of the year, your breakout podcasts and that kind of thing. It was kind of neat to look at some of that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And most of them are awful.
Yeah.
Like, just really, really bad. Like that Office one, The Office, and it's just cast members from The Office.
Oh, really?
It's like, you forget, y'all are actors. Actors potentially might be the most boring individuals ever.
Probably the more boring they are in real life, the better of actors they are.
Yeah, exactly. You
know? Like, I've seen like Johnny Depp interviews. Mm-hmm. He just seems like an empty shell. Like, there's just nothing to him, but he's obviously a fantastic actor.
I do not want to meet Daniel Day-Lewis ever.
No.
Like, trapped in an elevator with that guy would probably be a nightmare.
But I think, you've mentioned it, more of your comedians do pretty good podcasts.
Yeah.
Like Theo Von has a pretty funny podcast.
For sure.
He's funny.
Yeah, very good, you know, because that's what it lends to. It's supposed to be entertaining. It's like I've listened to a few minutes of The Office one, and it's like, you remember that one time on set that the donuts didn't get there quick enough?
Oh.
Shut up.
But yeah, they have 100,000 streams every time because it's all Office
because it's just Office people. Yeah. They get the benefit right away.
Yeah.
And then it's always like, wow, this podcast is doing really well. Yeah, it helps that you're all famous starting one.
Exactly.
The one I would say actually is there's an Always Sunny one. There's an Always Sunny podcast that I've listened to, and that one's actually pretty funny.
Okay.
Because those guys are funny.
A lot of those are comedians.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, but what is someone like? I've trashed on Steve-O, which I've had a listener call out and be like, it's good though. It's a good podcast. I'm like, not because of him, because he's sitting in the back of a van, right? It's just him in the back of a van that's all done up, and then somebody comes in and who's interesting and does it, you know? And Steve-O's just sitting there, like that horrible voice.
I just can't listen to this. It is for hours and hours and hours.
Pretty sure this is from his podcast. Have you recently seen the clip where I forgot his name from Wu-Tang Clan snatched him up by the neck and forced him to apologize on stage?
Oh, man.
Because he got naked at ODB's like funeral party kind of
Why?
Thing. Well, he said the first time he met ODB, he got naked, and ODB thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
So he was going to do that to, you know, like honor his name.
Yeah.
But some of the other, you know, Wu-Tang members wasn't having it. So
like at the funeral?
It wasn't the funeral. It was like a concert.
Like a memorial
concert. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Remembrance. Yeah. 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 That, not when they're lowering him down into the into the ground. Yeah. It was like his family out there. Yeah.
Well, his family was there, and that's part of the reason why, because there were kids there and stuff.
Honestly, most black people do not like white guy hijinks and frat boy nonsense and grab assery.
Exactly what it was.
Horseplay, towel snappery.
Yes,
that's specifically a white guy thing.
If white dudes would do it in a locker room together,
don't do it at a black party. And the only dude, the only black guy who probably does like that kind of stuff, might have been ODB.
Yeah, he was crazy.
He's dead
now.
Yeah, so I would recommend not doing that. So which one was it? Was it Ghostface or was it Raekwon?
Yes, Raekwon.
Yeah,
I think it was Raekwon.
Makes sense.
Yeah,
snatched him up.
The bigger one.
Yeah,
the real. Snatched him up by the neck, drug him to the front of the entire performance, and made him apologize on mic. And then said, "If you don't, I'm gonna beat your ass right here."
Yeah. So he's still naked at this.
No. He had put his clothes back on at this point. Yeah, he was just shirtless at this point.
Because it's one that he's run around naked. Yeah. Fun. Yeah, but then now you're apologizing and you're naked. That would take away some of the fun.
Well, the problem was he told Method Man that in ODB's name that he was going to do this. And Method Man was, that's hilarious. And then came back after and was like, bro, you probably better not do that. Somebody's going to beat your ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it almost happened.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Probably not the stupidest thing he's ever done.
You don't mess with the Wu-Tang guys.
Nah.
They are crazy.
Yeah.
Ghostface and Raekwon threw 50 Cent down a flight of subway stairs.
Right. Before 50 Cent was shot.
Yeah. He was 50 Cent. Well, but it was before that. Because all he said was 50 Cent did a track on his first album before he got shot and was mega famous. Right. He did a song called it was about robbing people. I forget what the name was. And he mentions a bunch of famous rappers and robbing them for the stuff they see in the music videos.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to rob this from Diddy and I'm going to rob that from that, you know? And he mentioned Wu-Tang and he's like, and RZA would always wear these funny rings. And he's like, I'm going to rob RZA for them funny ass rings. That was the line. And then they caught up with him like in the streets of New York and tossed his ass down a flight of stairs for that. as the rumor goes.
Yes.
Because it's hard to imagine 50 Cent getting.
I was going
to
say, the 50 Cent we know stood up to Suge Knight and all of that. Yeah. So, you know, but you're right. I think getting shot maybe caused him to be like, I don't have to take that.
Yeah, I've
shot, you know.
Maybe. And he bulked out. He wasn't always like a jacked beast,
right?
You know,
looked like he was grown in a lab.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
in the club style.
That's like, you know, he caught so much flack for that Super Bowl performance earlier this year, where he's like hanging down upside. Yeah. He was hanging upside down for I don't know how long, 30 minutes or something. But
people were like, "Oh, 50 Cent looking like a whole ass dollar."
Yeah, the guy's in his 50s.
Yeah,
surely.
Yeah.
I mean,
blood had definitely rushed to his head.
Yeah,
at that point.
And still, I mean, the dude's still bulky. All right,
he still looks good.
99% of the folks who were saying shit about him would not dare to say it to him in person. Yeah.
I've watched that
video. You hang upside down when you're like 52 years old.
Because your meat will hang like the other way now.
Yeah, exactly.
Resting on your face. Now it's...
It's not a flattering pose for anybody.
No.
The Rock. Blood hang rushing. Him up, upside down.
Yeah.
Ed get even bigger.
My favorite thing about 50 Cent is the video I watched that went over the story of Fofty. I know I talked about it on the radio station once back in the day when we were all doing it, but Fofty was 50 Cent.
That was broke ass 50 Cent, right?
No, that was 50 Cent's like what'd you call it? Like a loan shark.
Yeah.
Persona.
Needs his $20 back.
Exactly. Like he got all the money that was owed, like some dude from a show, Power, owed him like $300,000. And, you know, he just berated on social media, and every moment he's like, yeah, I'm going to need that by Monday. That was the classic. I'm going to need that by Monday. And got his money back, you know, and it was to the point where if you owed 50 anything, you don't want to. And then there was like, you know, it got to the point, it was such a meme on the internet. There was a point where at one of his shows, a fan came up and just gave him 20 bucks. And 50 was like, what's this for? And he's like, I stole Get Rich or Die Trying from an HMV in 2004. You know, so I owe you that. Yeah. Don't come out. You know, it's at the point where I'm pretty sure I owe 50 money. Yeah. Like, I definitely used LimeWire for Indie Club back in the day. So.
Yeah, I definitely downloaded Indie Club on a CD 100 times for sure.
There was somebody out there that surely 50 bought him a soda one time.
Yeah. Man. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, I got to get that soda back.
There was T.I. T.I. did like a thing where somebody owed him money. Like, he made a bet with Michael Blackson, the comedian, and he lost bet $1,000, and Blackson wasn't paying up. So he went and borrowed $1,000 on Instagram from 50. He's like, I'm borrowing this from 50. That's his, because his name is Fofty, because he posted the first of the round of all this happening was this guy. He was like a producer for a show. Like, so not a gangster or anything, just some like white producer guy who owed him like a significant amount of money. And he was pleading with 50 over a private text message that 50 then put on his, you know, and he said, please, Fofty, please just give me, like, he misspelled his name, Fofty, please give me just a few more days. And Fofty's reply was, I'll need that by Monday. And it became this whole meme.
Yes.
That's very funny. You know, I love the story of Fofty. Anyway, speaking of rappers, I'm hoping you don't know about this.
Okay.
So I could surprise you with it. Andre 3000.
Yes, the flutes.
Damn it.
Yes, he's actually the first. He actually has now the Guinness Book of World Records for the longest song on the top 100 Billboard top 100 charts.
I don't even know how that reached the top 100 Billboard charts. That album should be thrown away.
Really? Have you listened?
Yes.
Okay.
I can't listen to the whole thing. I'll listen to 5 minutes of one track, but it's 17 minutes. So Andre 3000, who's like in a lot of people's top five ever. With Outkast. Yeah. Never did anything on his solo. He stopped rapping.
Technically, Hey Y'all was a solo track, if you think about it.
It was an Outkast, but it was double feature.
Correct.
It was,
and each one did their own piece. Yeah.
Speaker
and
Box
Love
was,
Below.
And Love Below was his. So that's the closest thing to a solo. Which saw Big Boy all over it, you know, and I think, right? Or did he not? Was Big Boy somewhere on that album? Sure.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
Excuse me. Anyway, you know, and he's done some features and stuff since then, which are great. I mean, he's fantastic. He really is one of the best ever to do it, but he just wasn't challenged or whatever. Didn't feel like he needed to be in hip hop anymore. And then couple weeks ago, it's like Andre 3000 releasing a brand new solo record, and everybody was like, oh, until his interview, he said, oh, I'm not rapping on it. I'm a flautist now.
Yeah.
And he plays this bullshit ass flute through the whole thing, which isn't even like, it's not even flute jazz. It's not
jazz flute.
It's not jazz flute.
Oh man.
It's all synthesizers and crap. Have you listened to it?
No, I have not.
You will hate it.
Okay.
I mean, and everybody's pretending like they love it. That's the thing. If this was done by Joe Who Gives a Shit, nobody would care.
Right.
And honestly, I've listened to this type of stuff. I listen to some atmospheric spacey stuff from time to time. It's not good. It's he does not have the musical chops to do an album like that.
Is he like a classically trained flautist? Just this is the instrument he decided to pick up.
Yeah.
Of all the instruments in the world, he's like, well, he's a little older fella, right?
In Hey Ya, he played every instrument.
Okay.
Song. Yeah.
Okay.
So
he knows something about it.
Yeah. He knows instruments. Yeah. But I think this is,
I don't know about the
his
flute.
First like, wind instrument.
Okay. Yeah. He's going full wind.
Yeah.
You need to change the reed in that thing, dude, for real. Cause that thing is, and it's bad. And I'm not saying it's bad. Like, Andre's amazing.
Right.
And he can do whatever he wants. I'm happy for that. Just stop acting like this thing is, people are like, this thing has changed my life.
Right.
This album.
If Tyler Massey put this out, it wouldn't move the needle.
No,
what you're saying.
Nobody, you know, and it's just his name. He can do whatever he wants. If he wants to blow into a flute for the next 20 years, that's fine. I'm not telling him not to do that. It's just stop pretending like this album is anything but, I hate to sound like this, a very amateurish take on atmospheric, spacey, jazz, instrumental music, songs that drone on for 17 minutes. I'm into all that. Trust me. I like all kinds of shit. I listen to, what is it? Tangerine Dream and stuff like that, you know, and it's not quite jazzy, but there can be some and jazz rock, like progressive jazz rock fusion shit. That shit is so weird from the 70s. So weird, but it was groundbreaking. This album, I like Andre, but again, it's very amateurish, and he's like, a lot of it is off key. I'm hearing it. It's off key a lot of times, which does lend, he said that most of the album is improvised. Oh, that's great. Why not prepare something good?
Yeah.
That's the word. Improv is one of the worst things. Just prepare something good instead of just being like, I'm going to hit this.
Make it up as I go.
Yeah.
How much fun is that going to be?
Yeah. And you can hear stuff in the background during the, like, you can hear little like tinks and bangs and stuff that wasn't supposed to be in there. It's not very well recorded.
A jackhammer from some city, some street construction.
Stuff like that. Yeah. Like clearly. And since you just improv this thing for 11 minutes, you can't be like, let's do that again. Yeah. Take two on that.
Somebody's
like,
unloading a dishwasher in the background.
Yeah.
Is this not perhaps just some big, a ploy, a statement to be made about the state of the music industry nowadays?
He is trying to do that. Yeah. He doesn't want
to be like, look, I just crap this thing out.
Yeah.
That I know sounds terrible. And I know that nobody wants to listen to the average person wants to listen to 17 minute songs, but let me just show you what name value can do for you in this industry. Even you just where that style can always be over substance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Adam,
and I don't believe that.
That's too much. Give him too much credit.
Yeah. Yeah. not giving him enough. He is a musical, you know, and I think he knows the thing is not. It's his first go at it, and it's not an easy type of music to keep somebody engaged for 17 minutes. Yeah. You need to be, like a master instrumentalist. And he just simply is not. And then there's like, during some of the interviews, he'll have the flute. He's sitting there with the flute, right? And it's not like a flute like this. It's more like the recorder style. I don't remember exactly what you call that. I think it's still a
recorder.
Flute,
basically,
dude, I could do hot cross buns too. Trust me, you know. But on the recorder in third grade,
I can still do Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, homie.
So this is not an attack on him. It's an attack on like, y'all are lying to yourselves and you're delusional over an Andre 3000 solo album that you've been waiting on. Me too.
Right.
For 30 years.
This ain't it.
You know, this is not it.
Right.
This is not it. And it's not that good. I mean, I'm just saying it's not that good. It's, you know what? It's perfectly fine for a guy who first ever did it. It's actually really good if you take that into consideration.
Right.
But again, like I said, I'm not trying to come off as a music snob, but this type of music is so hard to do that I listened to the first track and I'm like, that it was just very amateurish. The mix was off. The synths are weird.
Which you would think of the things that he could
do. The production would be
up there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, at least cut out the ting-tangs that shouldn't be there.
Right.
And a song from this album now, you say, is breaking records as far as being at the top of the Billboard?
Well, because the longest song ever to break into the top 100 Billboard charts. Yes.
Oh, okay, I got you. Not longest standing song.
Right.
The
longest song. That's why he's talking about 17 minutes.
Yeah,
I think that's the one he's talking about.
Okay. Yeah.
It's making
I believe that's the intro. Too, and the only one that anybody listened to, because I guarantee you, is this filming?
Yes,
I guarantee you. If you say you like this album, you listened to 7 minutes of the first one, didn't listen anymore, then went to Facebook or wherever and said, "My life is completely changed." Because, and then you pretend like you know the whole album,
right?
You don't. I listened to every track, a few minutes of each one, and I was like, and then started like, you know, just skipping forward and being like, nothing's changed. Yeah. There's zero chord
progression. Is it getting better? And I mean, because the average song now, it seems like the average length of music is getting shorter. Shorter. I mean,
3 minutes.
3 minutes is the sweet spot.
Seems like a lot of hip hop music that I've heard some recent is like 2 minutes long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Two and a half, if you like it. Probably the average length on the Billboard is 2.5 minutes.
They can't do more than a verse and a hook. They do the hook four times and then the verse once. Or sometimes they repeat. Have you heard them repeat the verse?
I can't stand that. That's the worst.
I had to sneeze. Come on.
No.
Give me a break here.
Repeating the verse.
I only sneezed two times.
He repeated the sneeze, Dagger. Yeah.
No,
when they repeat the verse, and it's not like the verse was so well written that we needed to hear it twice.
Yeah. It's like they're using it to rhyme. It's like, are you literally rhyming the same 10 words back to back?
That's exactly what it's like.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Come on now. Come on, Travis Scott.
It's just the music is in a weird state for me. Like, I like to listen to a lot of the old stuff, and people are like, wow, I can't. People are literally saying that this album has changed their life. And there, no doubt, there is a huge market for music that you can put on while you study too.
Okay.
Look at these videos online. It's a 24/7 live loop of like chill, lo-fi,
lo-fi. Yeah, all those. Yeah, there's other ones. Yeah, there are whole genres now that just came out of nowhere. Kind of seems. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me just say, if that's your favorite album of the year, go back to the 70s, look up some like-minded, and hear when it was groundbreaking and when they poured their heart into the mix and the production, you know, and
with a lot less procedural generated stuff
absolutely.
And AI
and digital ability.
Much more limited technology and actually having to like physically cut this stuff.
And they became famous from that. Not a guy who enters this realm and then releases an album that gets a billion more plays than those guys ever got.
Right.
You know, and it's kind of like, well, going back to Steve-O. Steve-O talks about cutting his teeth as a comedian. He didn't have to do that. Like, I don't think he ever played clubs.
Before Jackass?
Exactly. Right. He never did. This is his new found profession as being a comedian. Like, not everybody gets to just step into a theater with 3,000 people chanting your name right off the bat.
Exactly.
You've been fast-tracked, and same with Andre. So I don't have a problem with Andre. He can do whatever he wants, and he's musically awesome. And it's not like I hate the album. I'm hating the reaction to it.
Right.
Nobody's being serious about it. Nobody's being real. Just saying, you know what? This thing isn't very good or isn't my thing. Or like, you know, I don't know. Chill, study to it, I guess. But people are like, this thing literally has changed my life. Like, you look at the top one on the 17-minute song on YouTube, and it's like, my dad just died, and this album's getting me through it. And I'm like, what? Like, literally 17 minutes of...
Your dad meant so little to you.
Yeah.
All it took for you to get over his loss.
Yeah. You're I'm not going to listen to his music. Carry on, my wayward son. Are you kidding?
I may be able to say that about Equimini, you know.
Yeah.
That album may have gotten me through a few hard times.
Sure.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He has definitely made great music, but I agree. I just don't see... You know,
take a listen.
You know something that was groundbreaking to me, and I thought it was awesome, and it was great music, and it just blew my mind, and it was one of those eye-opening moments. Like, there could be more great music outside of genres I'm familiar with. Mm-hmm. That was Yanni, the pianist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Back in the day.
Yeah,
man.
I was like,
for sure.
I'm taking my girlfriend to a piano concert.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then I enjoyed
rocks it.
It was rocking piano, you know?
My favorite instrument, violin. I just absolutely love the sound of it. And and because of that, one of my favorite musicians, a guy, Andrew Bird, who a lot of weird stuff. Mm-hmm. He tries to do a lot of this kind of... the right term. This kind of spacey kind of music or whatever.
It's like indie and alternative.
Yeah, And there's got he does a bunch of different things. I just want to listen to him play a violin. He did. It was like 12, 13 years ago. He did a TED concert. I don't even know if TED still does their concerts, but that was one of the things that they did there for a while with these TED concerts, and they had them. And it's called Andrew Bird's One Man Orchestra of the Mind or something like that. And the dude just gets out there with this violin. He can play it like a guitar. He can play it like a ukulele. He can play it like a cello. Mm. And then when he finally gets to the part where he plays the violin, and he'll like obviously I don't know the terms here real well, but he'll play something and then he's got it like recorded while he's playing it. In this one man concert, he'll loop it. Yeah, thank you. And he'll loop all these different things until you got. It sounds like an orchestra going. Yeah. Uh-huh. And
you've seen that kind of thing. It's like foot pedals.
Yeah, it's foot.
So
yeah.
He'll play this and then loop that. Then he can stop and focus on something
like,
else.
Sing, whistle. Yeah, he got like a xylophone that he's like tapping on. You know, it looks like my baby's xylophone. Yeah. You know, but still, it puts it all together. It's brilliant. Mm-hmm. There's some weird stuff out there that does sound pretty good.
That was so
I'm never gonna cap it. Yanni, my wife put on some Enya recently. I was like, damn,
Enya's amazing.
Yeah, she absolutely. Got some pipes on her, man. She Enya's
incredible.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of stuff you can open your eyes to music. And hopefully you take this, I call you out. If you're a big fan of New Blue Sun, which is the name of Andre's new album, I want you to come back next week and tell me what else you found in the genre that you like.
Okay.
Good luck, dude.
And it ain't jazz flute.
It's not the kind of music you put on. And just listen every now and then.
Because it's 45 minutes long. It's the short track.
Yeah. It's about an hour and 31 minutes. The whole album.
Okay.
And one song 17 minutes long.
Yeah. That's insane. Then there's like 14 minutes. What are some long? There's some long tracks for back in history that are really good. But I don't know if those versions of
Freebird?
Yeah. Freedom is nine, right? Nine and a half minutes. Yeah.
Something like that.
You have... Now, I just don't know if these versions made it onto the Billboard, though, if it was the singles. So you have Heard It Through the Grapevine by CCR. The album version is 14 minutes long. I know every note of that 14-minute track.
Wow.
And I listen to it two times in a row. When I hear it, I listen to it again.
Dang.
Yeah. Every guitar lick, every part of that track.
So that's 30 minutes
track.
Of music every time you listen to it.
Yeah. And then you have some Pink Floyd tracks. You have Dogs, which is... 14 minutes right around that. You have lots of Pink Floyd tracks that get over the 10 minute mark. I mean they have one that's an entire album is Shine On You Crazy Diamond. That there's parts they split it up into parts, but you could buy the one album that it's on. It's like a 40 minute song, but it's still split into different parts and tracks, but they carry over and most people look at it as one song.
I think it Fela Kuti's Zombie, 12, 13 minutes, something like that.
Something like that.
Now it's, I like the 5.5 minute part. That's where I usually, you know, if I'm going to listen to it, I'll skip ahead a little bit.
But I know
still
every
fun.
Note.
Yeah.
We both know every note of the beginning. And that's another genre right there. You only need to listen to one Fela Kuti song to be like, okay, Afrobeat is the shit.
Yeah,
and then look and find all kinds of other shit.
I got something, album a friend of mine was like recently, I don't know if his estate put it out or some music or something that was never released before. Anyway, it's got an album from him and it is just fantastic. Now, most of the songs, they're pretty short, but sometimes they kind of go like it's kind of like a Pink Floyd album where it comes back again at certain points and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, that Afrobeat, some of that, let's say he's the only one that I really know a little bit of.
Yeah.
It's really good. And then African Bambaataa, he's got a couple of tracks that are kind of go in that Afrobeat style that I really like as well.
Yeah, with electronic kind of mixed in.
A lot of drums.
Yeah.
You know, and for what I say, African Bambaataa, he's like one of the original, like the three kings of hip hop in the United States, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Like Sugar Hill Gang.
Like in the 70s, he was trying to pioneer some of this
Africa
stuff.
African Bambaataa, yeah. And then, like you said, when they return back to a certain type of,
Jay.
In classical music, it's called an overture, right?
Yeah.
When they revisit the
after you got the romanzo, the melody, and the allegro, and all the different things, and get
the overture comes, it brings it back, which you have some symphonies, the single song that's 30 minutes or less, maybe 20 minutes or something like that, and you'll hear. Through every 10 minutes or so, they brought it back to that part. Pink Floyd does that really well. If you listen to Dark Side of the Moon, they start, you know, or like Time, like Breathe, Time, and then there's a few more that bring it back to the for lack of a better word, overture. Like they progress that's chord progression, and then they start back over. And that's always the best part of Dark Side of the Moon for me, is when they bring it right back, and you're like, oh shit, you land right back into that one part, you know. And I love that shit.
Pink Floyd is, I mean, Money is one of my favorite from Pink Floyd. They used the cash register sound, you know, the different, I like the way they implemented just some of the real world sounds to make it music with.
It's innovative, man. And like it follows the beat along at the beginning.
Yep.
I have a story that'll play in our news tomorrow over on KDQN where I've sampled the Money. It's about, it's a West story I've used before, but just to keep folks mindful about Christmas related scams, you know, and it kind of ends, you hear the cash register and then get your hands off of my stack, all that. I was really like that little production work.
That's a really good story.
Yeah,
I look forward to that one.
I care less about story, but I always listen to it, waiting for that part.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, I don't know where music's at right now. Obviously, I guess the biggest rappers right now, apart from, you know, blessing the Kendrick and stuff like that, is like, man, I don't even know.
Well, I wonder.
I forget their names. DaBaby, I guess, and stuff. They're supposed to be really good and all this, but it's like, I can't listen to it. I just can't do it. You know, to me, new rap is still Future, and that is old school shit to the people who like the new stuff.
That's true.
So is mumble rap, is that still the thing right now, or is that just the trend? Was it just a couple years now?
I mean, it depends. It depends where you get your music. It's the Spotify thing. That's what the big thing. SoundCloud, Spotify. You have rappers like Lil Xan, who isn't anything anymore, but this is a classic case of how this goes. So Lil Xan is a tiny white kid, face tattoos. That's how he sounds.
Oh, yeah, and I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, he got really famous on SoundCloud, bought a G-Wagon with money he didn't have, and then released his first album, Xanarchy, Total Xanarchy, and it was awful. Like, everybody was like, yuck, and then he never got another piece of money.
Repoed.
Yes.
It's working fast food.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It should be. You know, and that's the way this
Lil Xan flipped them burgers.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Do you remember Designer?
Yeah.
What happened to him? I mean, like, I don't think he's doing nothing.
Not
anymore.
Really. He's kind of still in the scene, but he's not making music. Not that I'm aware of, anyway.
Yeah, there's 1,000 of them.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Tyler and I both have a theory here. Just to interject this real quick.
Panda? Was that him? Mm-hmm. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's Panda.
Yeah.
You can almost look at anything, and the best of it is being done right now. Mm-hmm. That there's the best artists, the best. I don't know. You take anything, and people are doing it better now than it's ever been done before.
Best UFC fighters.
Yep.
Yeah. For a great example. Yeah. And but it's also so there's more people. Everything's so much more awash.
Yeah. Exactly.
In examples of those things, so it's harder to find the good stuff. I don't know if music's in the same.
100%. It's passionless. Jimi Hendrix. There's 14-year-olds right now who have a technical, better understanding, could shred and jam harder than Jimi Hendrix could have ever imagined doing so. But there's no passion in it.
Right.
Everybody's doing it. They just set up their camera and they play their little, I learned this one too, and then release it as a YouTube short and get 1 million views.
It almost seems the ones who have such passion for it, they're not going to, the passion that they have for the music is so contrary to the amount of work and effort you have to get to get your name out there, you know, through social media or whatever, the self-branding and stuff. Like I've known some good musicians who, the last thing in the world they wanted to do was tell anybody of what they did, you know, and, you really got to work to get your name to get above the din of the crowd nowadays. And I wonder if that keeps a lot of folks who are really good at what they do more or less in their basements, you know, or to themselves, because the effort to get your name out there that's got to be a huge challenge.
We've talked about this over and over again, the rush the for content. You know, and it's like, and truly talented people don't need to think about what their content is going to be that day. They just do that, and that's it.
Yeah,
you know,
Jimi Hendrix was like the best guitar player of when he came out. Mm-hmm. I doubt he was out there like actively trying to show everybody how good he was at guitar. It's just somebody heard him.
Just
like, my God, dude, we got to give you money to do this. You know,
and George.
What were you about to say?
I was going
to
say George Carlin.
Oh, okay. I'll say Jordan. So go ahead with Carlin, and I'll get back to Jordan.
Okay. George Carlin is one of the greatest, if not the greatest comedian of all time. And he threw away a extremely lucrative life of doing the corporate, because before he was who he was doing, he would be on like a Johnny Carson style in a suit and doing, funny bits that the whole family could laugh at.
Yeah.
And
not making
fun
of God and stuff like
right.
that.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the worst language you could ever use.
He said, screw all that. I'm going to take my comedy down to, where did he take them? Colleges.
Yeah.
That's where he thought the hip, cool people would be, who he could get down on their level. They'd be like him, open-minded. He was probably making no money, and then he was making a lot because you couldn't deny him anymore. You could not deny George Carlin being amazing anymore.
Right.
Then everybody started releasing, he has the most HBO specials of anybody, and everybody, well, no, actually that's Gallagher who has the most HBO specials of all time.
Yeah, really?
That's right. Yeah.
That's right.
That's crazy.
But, George is up there, and
rest in peace, by the way.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
I think
to Gallagher, not George.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
George's been gone a while.
Yeah. Rest in eternal damnation, George.
It's a good thing he's not around anymore.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
He'd be canceled multiple times over.
Either that, or he would have just died from an aneurysm thinking about what's going on. Because his classic quote is, when you're born, you get tickets to the circus. And when you live in America, you sit in the front seat. That's, nice. Or to the sideshow, I think it was. Yeah. When the sideshow. And you born live in America, you get right to the front seat of it. And he would not like what was going on right now, I don't think. And then to think that that's where our greatest comedian ever, got all of his, that's where he started, was colleges, and now nobody plays colleges anymore unless you're that Hannah Gadsby or whatever, that perfect, clean, woke comedy, which is an oxymoron.
Yeah.
Woke comedy. Oh, I can't wait. You're in for a riot.
Yeah, well, and to Carlin's credit, I mean, he was going at a time when colleges were kind of filled with some of the smartest people in the country. Yeah. Now they're filled with some of the stupidest.
For sure.
Yeah.
Because they're not willing to open. You close off the open part of your mind, you're going to be an idiot.
Yeah.
Until, what's the funny thing too is that if I'm ever going to argue or anything with a woke young person, I can't even argue. I'm just going to sit back, smile, and say, you'll grow out of this.
Yeah.
Trust me.
By the time you're 50, you'll be voting
Life
Republican.
Life will smack you around.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. When you have groups, trans for Palestinians, trans for Hamas, and it's like, on college campuses, it's just like, how can you argue with that? I mean, you're dumb.
You can't argue with that.
What's the one that it's like, literally, it's like queers for
there's all of them. Yeah,
I want to say Qatar, but it's not. Oh. It's not that, but it's something like that. And it's like, really? Yeah. You would do okay.
Yeah. Trans for Transylvania, or is that a little too on the nose, maybe?
Well, there you go. What was I talking about? George Carlin. And the need for content, back to that, which we've touched on a bunch of times. But it's like you just either are or you are not. And if you are not, if you put your head and work as hard as you can on your social media, you can be.
Well,
but you are not.
Hard work
talented.
Can make up for talent.
Yes.
It certainly can.
Well, that goes to the Jordan thing I was going to mention.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was my dad that told me this or if he recited something he saw, basically. But he said, or maybe Jordan said it and my dad just told me later. But he's like, but I heard it about basketball first, but it applies everywhere, I think. No matter the greatest person you see doing it today does not have the most talent at it. Mm-hmm. They're probably the most talented that work the hardest.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. He's Michael Jordan as an example. He said, there's 10 guys out there in the world that are more talented at basketball than Michael Jordan naturally.
Mm-hmm.
But he took the talent and then worked harder than anybody else on top of that.
Right. You mix those two together.
Yeah. And then created what he is today.
Yeah.
So, I mean, going back to the 14-year-old that can shred better than Jimi Hendrix, there's guys that don't have as great social acumen and can't, you know, don't have such great voices or whatever. I mean, but they do better than us because they are working harder.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's just, that's, I think that's a natural progression.
And you that's some of the best musicians that I've known personally, you know, just friends and acquaintances and such. And I mean, I'm not talking like they could have been great on a professional level. Just the ones that I knew they were good at shredding on a guitar or something were also some of the most socially awkward people.
Right.
And again, and they go back to that what made them so good at guitar is so opposite to what would make them good at promoting artists. Themselves.
Exactly. Yeah, which is why there's managers.
And, yeah, exactly. You know, exactly. Yeah. 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 And managers too, they got to sift through so much garbage.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like it's, you know, and that's one of the things we're like, I feel like we're losing as a society is a realization that 99% of everything, 99.9% of everything is garbage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk about 99.9% of podcasts is garbage. 99 point, you know, I like Lego. I still try to keep up with what people are building in the world and 99.9% of it garbage, yeah. You know? But there's also that 1% is bigger now, or that 0.1% is bigger now than it ever has been. There's so there's still a lot of good stuff.
People who complain about this when it comes to actors and musicians and comedy and any kind of entertaining medium, you will have somebody in the bottom 99% crying about how the 1% gets all the airtime or playtime. And it's like, that's not up to you. If you were good enough, you would be in the 1%. That's the one good thing that we have going right now. How could you complain or like want things to be equal? Everybody should be getting equal play. That's not how it works. You stink. Music is really hard and most people suck at it.
And we have, because we're in the industry, we often will have a musician that says, man, the industry is designed not to let people like me win. And I'm like, actually wrong.
Yeah,
I believe it's designed exactly for people like you to win. But here's the problem. You want to put out a song and then expect that is going to be all it takes for it to blow up all over the world. No. You're nobody. So you put out a song and then you call every radio station in the state or in your city. And you tell them, hey, I put out a new song. Would you think about listening to it? Most of them are going to say, yeah, send it to me, and never listen to it.
Yep.
So then you send it to the ones outside of your city and the region, and then you send it to the state, and then you send it to the nation, and there'll be three or five that pick it up. And you guess what? If it's a great song, it will pick up like wildfire. If they play it, it will pick up like wildfire.
Yeah.
And that's how it works.
People will be calling other states and be like, well, I haven't heard the song on there
yet. And they'll be like, well, if so-and-so's records gives the radio stations a song, then they'll automatically play it. Wrong. We get 32 songs a month from so-and-so's records and we play two of them.
Yeah.
So
it's and out of all times, record companies and record labels have the lowest amount of power they've ever had
because
of online.
Absolutely.
And if your song isn't getting play, no matter how much you campaign and send it out, it's because it's not good.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's the point there.
Yeah.
Because
I still think with all things maybe being equal, I do feel like hard work trumps talent. Like that talent without hard work can only go so far, whereas hard work without talent can take you. I mean, I think that's why we see the state of music and so many things where we're at. There's a lot of bad stuff out there just because people worked hard behind it. And I'll say for education, I know a couple of people who are just, they're just kind of idiots, but have much higher education than me because they're willing to put the hard work in where I didn't.
But can you build talent through hard work? Because I would argue that hard work gave you some talent.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? So then you can't do it without talent, period, because, I mean, you couldn't play an instrument if you don't have if you have zero talent.
Two things kind of sync together.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, 100%.
I feel like this is still when they stay in their lane and their medium that matters to them. There's a girl, she's probably the biggest guitarist on YouTube. She's hot and she's got a set on her and she plays one riff of just easy shit.
Yeah. She's all in the shorts, right? Yeah, I know
all in the shorts.
Yeah.
She's got billions of views.
Yeah.
She neither works hard nor has talent.
But she's flaunting the God-given talents.
Literally stands there in a belly shirt with a guitar and goes,
okay.
You know, that plays like Smoke on the Water or something. And people are like, whoa!
But that argument says that plays alone prove talent. or plays alone.
Yeah, it's success, rather.
Well, I mean,
that's just a little added benefit that the ladies get. All right, you see, yeah, when it comes to like
a naked cowboy, he plays out there in New York and gets money, right? No.
But like my thing is the 14-year-old that can expertly play a Van Halen song. It's like, okay, what about your song? Where's your song at? Like, can you, like, they couldn't write a song. They couldn't even know where to begin songwriting, which is, songwriting is the hardest part of it all. That's the hardest part of music. If like,
I couldn't even begin to think right. how
you talking about lyrics or
constructing,
constructing
music, lyrics, chords,
all of it,
rhythm, BPM, how putting fast, putting it all together.
And see, that's when you can spend your entire life learning notes and scales and all that stuff, and still not be able to come up with a good song.
Exactly. Agreed.
That's where I think the natural talent has to be, the ear for it or whatever. I don't know.
Like Peter Gabriel can write a hell of a song. I don't even like most of them. You sent me that Shock the Mind. I've never liked that song. Mm. I don't really like that song that much. I only really like one of Peter's songs. That's it. But he can write a song, you know? And I don't even find him particularly all that talented. Like, he's a good singer. He wouldn't be anywhere near my top 30, you know, personally. But he's got to be in the greatest songwriters.
One of the best of the 80s. All right. And that's a low bar to clear.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. But his songwriting abilities and his production level and mixing and all that is off the charts. So that's enough. You know, Paul Simon, one of the greatest songwriters ever. Bruce Springsteen.
Taylor Swift, somebody was telling me, writes all her own stuff.
All of her music and everything? I don't know. Man.
That's what's like.
It's hard for me to imagine.
They were claiming,
especially your new music,
debating with me best, not just best female songwriter of all time, but best songwriter of at least the last 50 years. Which I mean,
so she's in
FL
Studio mixing her beats. Like, I don't think so.
I want to say that the most recent album she's been releasing with her New Eras tour is all music that she has fully created from her old music. It's called Taylor's Version. It's all the old
electronic
music.
Shit I've been hearing.
I think
because I know she can play a guitar. I doubt she can hop on a synthesizer.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know exactly her level of.
I couldn't. I wanted to argue against. Believe me, I wanted to, but I don't know.
I don't know enough.
If anybody listens to this podcast, knows that we're. I don't know anything about music, certainly couldn't argue against him. I just feel that it was wrong.
Yeah. If it's a guitar song with normal drums and all that in the background. But it's hard to say you're even a songwriter when you play a lick on a guitar, a few chords, and then toss it over to the producer who then adds the drums. That you're not songwriting. Sorry to say, songwriters are mostly assholes. Songwriters are the most dictating, like fascists almost, like with their music, you know, like apparently working with somebody like a Paul Simon or a Peter Gabriel is a nightmare because he wants to bring you on and he doesn't want you to have any, you know, Roger Waters of Pink Floyd is why the band broke up, because the guy is one of the greatest songwriters, album writers, conceptual.
It's like, I'm just going to create you this masterpiece and you go out and do your little thing.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
And you're like, well, I think I would shut up.
Yeah.
Play that exactly like I'm thinking.
This is good enough for you. Yeah. Believe me.
A great songwriter would never be like, okay, now you throw it together. I'm out. I'm going to go have the world love me.
Right.
You know?
Right.
We'll see. I could be totally wrong on Taylor Swift. If she's spending, you know, 12 hours a day in the studio, just listening and being, no, that snare is just a little too punchy. I'm going to bring that down and throw this.
I don't think it's too far of a limb to go out on to think she does that.
To think she does that?
Yeah. All right. I think that's her style. I mean, I think actually she, you know, prefers to be in the studio. Now, well, this is the Eras tour again.
I just don't think they're that great as songs. I mean, they're just normal. They're good. They're fine.
I kind of mentally bookmarked something, and I wanted from what we were talking about earlier, and I want to ask you guys, because you guys would know better than me, and I just see so much AI generation being incorporated into more and more things. When our mother was down recently, you know, she's a graphic designer, and she's talking about this new guy that she hired who has built software that allows AI to generate the stuff that she has to craft by hand, you know, and because she's just from the more traditional, use Adobe Illustrator and InDesign to do that stuff. And this guy's just like, oh, I'll just create my own program that's automatically, I give it a few inputs and there, you know, people using ChatGPT to condense news and information and stuff in bullet point. People, you can write your own script for that stuff. I just see more and more AI generation infiltrating our society. Is music production? No. Has it gotten to that point yet?
Have you listened to it? Do not. I mean, AI generated music is terrible.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm not saying it couldn't happen in the future, because remember when AI art first started coming out, it was like,
oh,
that's
shitty. Now it's
incredible.
The photos. I see more and more people sharing AI generated photos a lot from Palestine. Mm-hmm. There was one that I saw recently. I it's like the only comment I've made on Facebook in a while was to let them know, like, I don't think this photo's real, because like, look at the dude's hands. He's got 10 fingers on one hand. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, and so do the people around him.
Did I see you comment that on the photo on Facebook?
Yeah, it was on JM's profile. Yeah, good dude, but don't get. And not like he was posting that for any to say anything about anything. It was just he saw a sad photo and was like, "This is sad."
Right.
And I was like, this shit's definitely happening, but you got caught by a fake AI generated photo.
Right.
Yeah. The pictures is one thing, because the internet, which is what it's using, right? The intelligence.
Yeah, sure. All the existing information. It's not coming up with anything new.
Yeah.
I'm very skeptical of AI.
Yeah.
And I'm not afraid of it at this point anyways. Right. But
when you use AI with music, what it's going to do is it's going to pull together. It's going to try and create a song. I've heard them that sound like DaBaby, Taylor Swift, and Black Eyed Peas all mixed together.
It's going to take the 100 from the top 100
last 100 years.
Yeah. It's just getting the hits, whatever's got the biggest hits and stuff.
I heard an AI-generated Tupac song. You get to plug in all the parameters you want,
right?
But it's still, it's not good. It's way too, even if you listen to dubstep, you will hear the human error.
I get you.
And you won't until you listen to
it. Unless you know what you're listening for,
You don't even have to know what you're listening for. You just have to hear a version of a Skrillex song that he made himself versus a version that in his audio workshop, it now auto snaps it every beat to where exactly it should be. And you'll be like, that doesn't sound right. Mm. That sounds really weird. That's because it's exact.
Right.
And that's all that it can do. It can't add what's called swing to music. And it just can't, it couldn't ever do
it. It can only when it's mimicking other swing, in the sense of I recently played on our show Hank Williams Sr. singing Eazy-E's.
Yes.
And that sounded great. It sounded just like Hank Williams Sr.
But this is the real motherfucking G's.
Real motherfucking G's. So it's hilarious. Yeah, it's awesome. Goodness. But you're right. I'm not playing I'm sorry.
It took Hank Williams Sr.'s voice.
And it sung in the original, not on I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry, but the other one. What's his most famous? Hank Williams Sr. Whatever. Anyway.
Whatever it is.
Achy Breaky Heart.
No. It took that song and the sound of his voice and the sound of the music, but he sung Eazy-E's.
Hey, yo, doctor, here's another prop,
whatever it was.
You know what? I've heard some Johnny Cash.
I've heard
like rapping.
I nearly sent you Hank Hill singing Big Iron by Marty Robbins.
Oh, really? Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
It sounds awesome.
Town of.
It's perfect.
Yep.
SpongeBob does it.
But you're right.
Like, you know.
We're only attributing two sounds we already know together to make it a mashup. If they're creating something fresh and new, then it sounds digital.
It's going to
sound digitally
created. It's got telltale, signatures. Yeah. And because, like, auto-tune.
Terminator has on his iPod. Yeah. You know what I mean? Okay. Seriously, that's how old it is. The Terminator has it on his iPod.
This is fire. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
RoboCop and Terminator share that. You know what I mean?
Because, like, auto-tune technology has not gotten to the... Like, you can hear it when somebody's using it.
Exactly.
It's not gotten that good yet, has it?
It can be, but but that's not like that's not what's popular.
But you only hear it. Yeah, you only hear it on rap that it's obvious. Yeah, it's going up and down. Yeah.
Auto-tune is used in every record that's ever. It doesn't matter how good you are. Even Rihanna. Rihanna, who I think has one of, I think she's in, might be in the top five female singers of all time.
Nice.
I think she, her voice is incredible, but she absolutely uses auto-tune.
100%.
It's just not like the robotic, like Post Malone thing. It's
yeah, because Post Malone wasn't really hitting the note. So that digitally had to change the note.
Like,
whereas Rihanna just maybe barely missed it in a port in a little second of it.
Okay.
So it's not changing much.
It does a lot of smoothing.
Yeah.
So instead of it being a sawtooth, it's more of a.
It's like a Snapchat filter for your voice.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. It just rounds things out, you know, and then pulls it up and down.
And that's
says,
what you say.
Yeah.
Some people just rely on it. T-Pain relies on it maybe more than somebody else.
But T-Pain
would.
Can sing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, T-Pain.
You heard that war?
Yeah. Yeah. T-Pain that was really good. Really good. But that's not who wants to hear T-Pain sing.
Yeah.
We want to hear him with that robot
like digital. Yeah.
Like
exactly.
Digital.
Yes.
You know?
Tuned digitally, tuned like he was, you know, coming out of a.
Like a Daft Punk album?
Yeah, exactly. I pictured, that's funny you say Daft Punk because I picture the album cover with the digital pieces and the head and the digital things. Mm. That's what I pictured when I thought
for
that.
For sure, for sure.
It's funny.
There's plenty of them. Everybody uses it.
One
if you're in,
time.
There's like no, the only person I think in music who doesn't use auto-tune is Oliver Anthony.
Yeah, exactly.
That's about it. Because he's just singing in the woods. And they probably threw some auto-tune on that.
There was another Hank Hill did Oliver Anthony.
Rich Home. Yeah. Vote rounds.
Yeah.
Get your own damn vote rounds.
There's SpongeBob. Big Iron is a big one.
Yeah.
People are like, just taking Tupac doing Big Iron, you know.
Speaking of fudge rounds, I saw recently. I think maybe we talked about this about somebody who
we talked about
an influencer,
whose
issue with the fudge round portion of that song was the fact that she pays for fudge rounds her own with her own money.
That's what
I think you're missing the point, maybe.
Sure.
I eat them wrappers and all.
Yeah, exactly. No,
boxes at a time.
I was this many. I was 44 years old when I found out fudge rounds were just a chocolate oatmeal cream pie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much. Well, I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah. This is another way of looking at things, right?
It's like that weird drizzle thing that goes across it. That's slightly different.
It's totally fine that it took you this long.
Right.
It's understandable.
It got you.
I never really ate them. I never ate a fudge round prior.
I like a fudge round.
Really?
Dude.
Yeah,
I
they're
like
all
a
right.
Good fudge round.
Yeah. I've grown to like
oatmeal cream pie is the best though.
I would like pass them over for anything else. Now if I see them in a stack of Lil Debbie
Republican.
You think so?
It changed your taste buds
boring,
changed too. Went from
and
blue to red.
Straight. All right. You are
it's not offensive.
Social Republican.
Yeah, it's not none of that Mexican spice to it or anything. Yeah. It's just good. It's just, white in the middle.
Okay. Down the middle America oatmeal cream pie.
Yeah. The color is barely. All right. Just barely colored. All right.
It's pure.
Yeah.
Barley.
It's white. It's pasty. It's like a good Republican body
there. That's right. Mitch McConnell in a sweet treat.
Exactly.
That's what an oatmeal cream pie is, and they're growing on me. Sure. I've been watching a lot of Christopher Hitchens. It's like it's a tough one to like talk about.
Yeah. Who that again? Remind me.
He's a very famous atheist.
Oh,
is what he's known for.
I intellectual.
Mean, he's intellectual. Writer, author.
Yeah.
Debater.
If there's a topic, he probably wrote a book about on it. He's like a British guy who is incredibly smart, Oxford educated. He chewed through everybody that was worth knowing in Britain, so he came to the United States and started and worked his way up here. You know, he died 2012, I think,
esophageal cancer.
Yeah. He's a heavy smoker and bad drinker. And
yeah.
Some of his later years, some of the stuff you see from him that's on the internet, you can tell he's about drank too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's about done.
Was his nose that big and purplish reddish?
Pretty normal.
Yeah, he looked pretty normal. And you can see one thing is I've seen a lot of clips of his from some of his first appearances on TV to some of his last, and there's this cough that he has.
Mm-hmm.
that you can hear progressively get worse over. And it's just like this sharp, like,
yeah,
he always apologizes for you. Like,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And, and then you see it. Yeah, it gets worse. I don't know why I'm telling this part of it. Yeah. He is somebody I wish he was still around. Don't get me wrong.
For sure.
Yeah, I wish he was still around. He was, he is not a fan of religion whatsoever. But that at least was, he was not discriminate in his hatred for religion. He was especially hard on the Muslims.
But the best part about him is that he would often, like, you know, when he was dying, Christians prayed for him to get better.
Yeah,
you know, maybe one part of them wanted him to admit his hypocrisy and pray that he gets better.
Oh, gotcha.
Because he is such an enemy against it.
Right.
But he would debate in churches with people, and the church people would come up and watch him and applaud for him because he wasn't an asshole about it. He is an asshole.
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah, there's one where he like debates, I guess, this rabbi, and the rabbi is trying to be kind of funny a little bit. He jokes about it. He was like, what do you say about his, Hitchens was calling out circumcision.
Yes.
And the rabbi is like, oh, the first my son cried his first haircut more than at his brisk. And Christopher Hitchens.
Brisk, sorry.
I would hope the brisk is brisk.
Yeah, yeah. All brisk right. is a tasty tea. Lemon and iced tea drink.
Brisk, thank you.
Before we get an email,
I would just hope that it would be brisk. Okay.
Yes. Hopefully. Yes.
But in
the
case,
rabbi's fumbling with the with the tin snips or whatever they use.
I don't know. Chris Hitchens just went off on him.
Yeah.
For just like, I can't even imagine that. Yeah. I can't even believe you would make light of that.
He's like,
situation.
Would you make as well? Would you say, oh, my girl, my daughter cried more at her first haircut than her clitorectomy. You know, like stuff like
what?
That. If they just clitorectomy is like
remove female genital organs.
Female genital.
Yeah.
Mutilation. Well,
circumcision is
ultimately
not
cleaner. We do know that.
You know, it's not like you're gonna, if you had it done to you, you're not gonna live the rest of your life being like, I wonder what it'd have been like if I hadn't been circumcised.
Exactly.
There's people
and
that
vice
haven't
versa.
Had it done, then had it done, and very much regretted it. Not only because the pain, because you're a grown man, but also your sensitivity gets dulled. But there's plenty of circumcised dudes walking around and still enjoying the hell out of sex.
Is there maybe the religious side of it being that it is meant to reduce the pleasure of sex? I don't know if there is. Yeah,
that's the main point.
I thought it was the overall cleanliness of it.
No, because it is technically true. It's cleaner, but as long as you teach and
how to clean it, but then it's naturally cleaner. Yeah,
A big one that was a big nasty kind of myth about it was that AIDS was more prevalent in people who were uncircumcised, believing that it's sticking.
It's an open wound.
It's
an open wound. It's a constant open wound.
No, in people that are uncircumcised.
Right.
Yeah.
That little red piece is a constant open wound then.
Oh,
is what
they're
trying to say.
I think they were trying to mean like it was like hanging inside then. Like AIDS.
It was like
was
a pocket
like,
of
oh,
AIDS.
I'm going to stay in here.
Yeah.
It's nice and warm in
like
here for a bit before I attack.
I got you.
You know,
that's fun.
It's the same.
Yeah.
It has like no real.
But there is some I have read before that circumstances of circumstances.
Some circumstances.
That penis cancer is much reduced, like up to 75% reduced in people who are circumcised, as opposed
penis
to
penis cancer.
Penis
never
cancer.
Heard of it. That's because most
like
people are circumcised.
Or
no, penis cancer. You can get cancer in anything, dude.
Yeah.
Eye cancer, toe.
Yeah.
Bob Marley died from toe cancer, and
that's because he was freaking.
You know, he's Rastafari,
all right.
If you were to dare cut your toe off, like
if he had his toe cut off, he'd be performing at the Super Bowl with Miley Cyrus.
All right, well, maybe it's good that he didn't. Don't take that to the bank or anything.
Right.
I've read that it's definitely reduced in men who are circumcised, and
who gets
so that's
penis
something.
Cancer?
It's a thing. Yeah,
there's three recorded cases, and two of them were uncircumcised guys. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's definitely true. A non-circumcised penis You must maintain.
You must maintain.
A circumcised penis has no maintenance.
Yes.
So yeah, that would be ultimately.
Air it out once a day and you're good to go.
Wash that shit off, baby. You better wash it off.
You don't even. Just hang it out. Hang it out the window while you're driving.
What's that smear on your window?
Don't worry about it. This greasy dong print on your window.
Halfway down the window.
No, I just I'll just say now I'll get personal here. Right. I mean, it's a little TMI for a second, but I did a lot of reading in a doctor's office about penis problems after I had I take that serious. Something happens if there's like anything abnormal. I'm like, I'm going to go to the doctor about it. And I had this I didn't know what was happening at first. Had a reaction to, you know, when my wife and I decided to have a child, she was very like scientific, like we got to do it. There's these certain points where like she's in heat or whatever. I don't know. Yeah. And there was like and there's like this pregnancy lube that's supposed to just help the sperm get where they need to go or whatever.
It's like a slip and slide form.
Exactly. Creates little tunnels.
It's called Sure Shot.
Something like that. Dude, what? I don't know about that.
Drop the kids off right at the pool with Sure Shot.
Well, in any case, so she was using some of that, and then I immediately had like a reaction it. So I go, and they're like, oh, you're fine. It's just, this is very common. This happens. Like,
bring
some
out the dick saw.
Well, as I'm sitting in the waiting room at the freaking urologist. I'm reading all this stuff. Like, do you have penis cancer? There's some pictures of just of mushrooms growing off of them.
Oh,
and
dang.
It was just very bad. I was terrified when I didn't know what was going to happen. And like I said, this is a very, it was a very like early warning sign.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal yet, but I wanted to make sure. So they do their thing, look, and they're like, oh no, this is, and it just don't use it again. Obviously your body's did not, you're allergic to it or something. Yeah. Cleared up or whatever, but I was sitting in my office being like, it's going to fall off. Hey, I have no idea.
That's
rot off.
That's how I felt after my first sex ed class in 1991. You know what I mean? It showed me a picture of genital warts. You ever seen a picture of, well, everybody has now if you got internet. No kid at the age of 12 had seen a picture of genital warts yet.
No.
And an indention in your penis head is the most frightening thing you've ever seen in your life. It looks like a reverse wart, basically. A hole.
There was something like
scooped out with a perfect
chlamydia. There was like a vice you had to put your penis inside to squeeze to eject the discharge that was built. Horrific. The things
you've
never
had an ingrown hair down there. You've seen pictures of all this shit because immediately.
Oh yeah. Fortunately, that health ed portion of what is it? Just health class, I guess, you take in high school. And stop me if I've told this story before, but it was our football coach who taught health ed. Into like the second week, it's like, all right, it's time to do the sexual education portion.
Right.
It's like, let's just get into it, get it over with. And it was co-ed. It was girls and boys. Maybe that's what made him extremely nervous. There was no separation.
Ooh, so dang.
I remember he launches into it. It's like 9 o'clock. Up there, school would start at, or my school started at 9 because we have a block schedule. And so it's like 9:05. And he's like, he's starting to get into it. And he's like, says the word penis and then vagina. And he's just face, I will see forever. He is like as red as a beet. And then all of a sudden, like, what do you call that? Deus ex machina? Mm-hmm. Like over the intercom. The principal is like, we've just received a bomb threat. We need everybody to evacuate the school immediately in an orderly fashion. Do not panic. And you could see him. He was just like, oh, thank God.
Relief.
Yeah. And that was like a Thursday.
He actually called that in.
Yeah, I know. Thursday. It was like Monday. He was like, all right, well, we gotta go get back into it. 9:05. Principal's back on intercom. He's like, we've got another bomb threat. Everybody get out. Then it's like Monday. He's like, all right, this is for real. We have to get into this. Sorry, guys. And the third bomb threat. At this point, the principal is just like, okay, just get out.
Guessing to protest the sexual education or what?
No, it was just some people for 3 days in a row, a Thursday, a Friday, and a Monday, some goofball was calling in a bomb threat. I'd never heard the rest of the, I don't know who did it. It was the entire school was getting evacuated, not like just our class. So I don't imagine it was anybody in class with a cell phone being like, just call a bomb threat. I don't want to do the sex ed class.
I figure it was like parents. Like, mad that their kid is learning
Canada.
Sex ed.
It's not so prudish up there. I feel like is
pretty woke.
One of the Muslims. Up there.
Yeah.
Them Islams.
My buddy Zaino was in there. I remember he was like all like front center, like ready to take notes. And he was like, I wanna see some of them coochies.
Yeah. Cause in their minds, it's like you ejaculate into the woman and then she dies. Yeah, I remember that sex ed and stuff because they have the picture of the penis like sliced in half.
Yeah.
Oh god.
Yeah. Like, but not. It's like to show the internals.
Yeah,
but it's still like, you know, cut.
It's not the real. Even the cartoon version. I don't like seeing that.
Yeah, you know? For sure.
I just want to assume it's magic.
And it made no sense to me at the time. You know, like I was like, I didn't know. I thought it would like eventually rot off and die if you don't like use it or something like that.
Right.
Yeah. Atrophy. It's like a muscle. Yeah,
absolutely. Exactly.
Yeah. Use it or lose it.
Yeah. Back in the day, man. What have we even talked? Do you guys want to start this podcast yet?
Oh,
you can tell. Did you hit record yet?
All this good stuff.
We're getting those write errors again.
Oh no! I funny you say that because just now, about like 30 minutes before you guys got here, I reformatted it and I tested it.
Craziness!
And it was all good to go.
Yeah.
So maybe I just need to change.
So it was like one or two little blips.
Yeah.
Let me know 15 minutes before you want to wrap it up because like somebody's supposed to come by here and I'm supposed to let them know when we're wrapping it up, I guess.
Well, I got a pee, so you don't take a break.
Yeah, well, I think this is done.
Okay, cool.
I think we're, unless you guys, I'm about out. I wanted to bring up.
Well, Andre. I cut you off on Christopher Hitchens. I don't know if you're.
I had nothing. Going. It was just, I'll finish it up quickly and just say that listening to very smart people does not make you smarter. In fact, it makes me dumber, I think. So.
Yeah, because then you rely on what they say. And you don't go find that information for yourself.
Like, I don't even want to parrot it because I don't believe in everything he says.
Right.
I just like his debating skills. It's just something about listening to people debate and talk intelligently while I'm doing something unintelligent. Then the next day, it's not like you're coming in with this special new way. Mm. Like, I feel like I can't talk
anymore.
It's more
to help you adapt how to think a little bit better. Yeah. So maybe you can learn a little better in the future. And somebody like Christopher Hitchens, he definitely knows his logical fallacies. He knows when people are, when they're speaking out their ass, you know, and you can kind of learn a little bit how to catch up on some of that. And sometimes, you know, I like listening to folks a lot smarter than me because there are certain things I'll pick up. I'm going to be honest. Been listening to a few episodes of the Megyn Kelly show. She's just so pretty, and she can be funny.
You know, I've been into Ann Coulter.
Oh yeah, there's a great woman on the William F. Buckley show of her.
Oh really?
Like 91 or something.
Ooh.
Oh, she's just so gorgeous, but like in an alien kind of way.
Yeah,
like,
she doesn't look from this world.
Yeah, but those fingers are so long.
Yeah.
Megyn Kelly and I picked up on something from her because I listened to a couple of her podcasts where she interviews multiple people, and her style of dealing with multiple people who all have something important to say. I feel like I'm going to totally steal her style of organizing through that when we have people in our studio. Multiple people who have things they want to say, you know, and it's very simple things that I just never really thought of doing to organize an interview with multiple people. So, like, she's way smarter. I can't remember anything that she said. I just remember how she was dealing with that situation.
I'm noticing after a day of listening to nothing but Christopher Hitchens, my mind is a bubbling shit soup. And after a day of watching Fails all day, I'm sharp as a tack.
Nice.
So I don't understand.
Maybe it's just how you feel it. In your life, after you watch those things, you're like, I'm nobody with no thoughts after I listen to this guy.
Yeah,
versus watching all that, you know, I watched a episode of Jackass. I feel like a king.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is.
Well, you just need to know more about like 1960s politics, all right? And then I'm listening to Christopher Hitchens talk about, I'm like, no. Let me get that. No, you're dead. Yeah, so I can't even talk to you.
Rather get circumcised as an adult.
I can't even write you a blistering email. You're dead.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That should do it. That should do it for this week. You got a dentist appointment.
I do. Yeah.
I think
it's just clean. Okay. I think it's just a cleaning because I recently had the drill and it caused me 2 weeks of pain. So hopefully this time it'll be just cleaning.
Yeah. Bust out the old ball peen hammer. Get to work on it.
Yeah. God, I got to go to a dentist.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I don't, no pain or anything. Mm-hmm. This is I'm 36, I think, something like that. I have not been to a dentist since I was 18.
I remember you saying that a little while back that you hadn't been to a dentist in a long time. I just thought that was odd.
And I learned recently, I was like, well, I don't have any cavities. I don't see no pain. I don't see nothing. My wife's like, you can have a hidden cavity. You could just be eating out the inside of your tooth, and just one day you wake up and you're going to die.
And your tooth's falling out. Or you could have like the starting of gum disease and things of that nature, receding gum line, stuff like that.
Sky Rizzy.
Yeah, Sky Rizzy.
Sky Rizzum.
And it was our parents never took us to the dentist. Did you have...
I went to the dentist decent amount when I was a kid. Because I lived with mom, who would actually take
me. After the divorce, I guess.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
And that maybe that was it, because I don't know if they ever... Like, maybe I've been to the dentist once in my life. I'm pretty sure that's it, is once in my... When we immigrated to Canada, we had to meet with a government dentist who went through our... make sure that we weren't, like, going to impose some kind of burden on the Canadian healthcare system by coming into Canada with bad teeth, is what
that's
I guess.
Funny.
But besides... So there was that. So but it was actually, just a... They just looked at me.
I was going to say, so you do have dental records. And I was going to say, you could die today and we may not be able to identify you.
I don't know where it is in Canada. It was like an Indian Canadian doctor. And I just remember him telling, he's like, you have better teeth than I do. He's like, you have really the structure.
We have fluoride.
We have fluoride in the water.
You need somebody to take you to the train station, get your teeth looked at.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Stop looking at my teeth, Jay.
I don't have great teeth, but I'm in the same boat as Patrick. I don't think I've been since I was in high school.
Yeah.
And I went recently, and the first thing the doctor said, he's like, wow, you have great teeth. Like just on the inside. And he was like, they need a cleaning, but you have great teeth.
Awesome.
And then they did the x-ray, not a cavity.
Nice.
Like nothing wrong with them. You know, and I do believe it is one from the Sensodyne that I use. Nice. Every day.
Sensodyne, fluoride in
and
the water.
And fluoride in the water when we were young.
Screw the mind control or whatever.
I don't care if I'm a freaking frog and I'm freaking gay, dude.
Yeah. No, the fluoride makes you like a Manchurian candidate.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Snap fingers at one point, you're going to assassinate Biden.
It's a cold day for pontooning.
Yeah. Yeah, just wait for the COVID.
There might be.
Yeah, I think that my wife, who grew up without fluoride in her water, dude, she's constant. Like, she's starting to catch up on it, but like, she's had more root canals than I have, like, have owned pairs of underwear in my entire life. I mean, it's a tremendous amount and constant. She'll go, she's like, all right, I got all my cavities done, got fixed up. And then she'll go and she's like, oh, I'm having a problem. They're like, oh, you need a root canal. And you got three more cavities.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Just bad teeth.
Oh man.
You know?
When I went just, you know, at the beginning of this year to the dentist, I was expecting them to be like, you're all fucked up.
Yeah.
Like you have
like not taking your car.
Cavities.
You had a car for 18 years and you haven't changed the oil or done nothing to it. You take it to a mechanic, dude, you're about to get bend over, grandma. Exactly. And
I just need a cleaning and and this wisdom tooth yanked out, please.
Ooh, a little pain.
I don't right now.
A little pain, but he's good.
A little pain.
It's like Lil Xan and T-Pain.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That collaboration just broke.
Imagine their child.
Lil Pain.
Yeah. Lil Pain.
Oh, I bet you could AI generate like a
T-Zan.
T-Pain, Lil Xan had a child. What would it look
Lil
like?
Lil Xan.
Fucking ugliest
T-Pain,
thing in the world.
T-Pain, Lil Xan. I do have the wisdom teeth. I have two. Which is a weird one. One up top on the left, one on the bottom on the right.
Okay.
Which is one of the strangest or most rare combos you can have. And the one up top is ready to go. It's in there. It's fully grown out, and that doesn't cause me any problems, but he's like, might as well get rid of it. But this one here is going to have to be surgically removed.
Ooh, yeah.
It's a rare combo, but I have something even rarer than that.
None.
Yeah.
Are you certain? I think you've counted your teeth before, and I'm like, dude, you have wisdom teeth.
They always cause problems, don't they?
No.
No, you can. No. They can
this
adjust.
This one grew in with.
Yeah, you can have all your teeth.
Yeah, it just depends how much room you have.
Yeah, Lara has all her teeth.
All of them. Yeah,
or maybe she has had one taken out since. But I think since we got together, but when we met, she had every single one of her original or all of her adult teeth. Excuse me.
Yeah,
you know,
this one up top has more than enough room. This one on the bottom has more than enough room, but it's just sideways.
That's
why I had to have my two taken out on the bottom. They both were growing in.
Yeah,
that's weird.
Forward.
That's freaking weird.
It's so weird. And, you know, a buddy of mine, Brandon, you guys know both of him. He's big teeth. He's got good teeth, but he's big. They're big teeth, you know, if you really look at him.
Big.
Both
rock,
of them.
The rock teeth.
Well, we know both of him, so yeah.
Yeah.
He's got some big teeth. That boy's got some big teeth.
He's got real big teeth. And
he's all right, but he got some big teeth.
I don't know if he still has it. I think he said he kept it, but he got his wisdom teeth removed. And he said they were like, they told him it was like the biggest teeth they've ever seen. He said they left sockets in the back of his mouth that were just 10 constantly. Millimeter? Yeah.
That's where the 10 millimeter went.
Yeah. The 10 millimeter ain't nothing.
Yeah.
Just sockets back
Have
there.
Have you seen it?
No.
The wisdom tooth that's fully is like.
He said it's
huge. Dude, I mean, it's
like a finger or something.
It's like a horse tooth. Like a cow tooth.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's one of those brags like, Dennis told me I had the biggest tooth he's ever seen.
Well, no, he said it sucked for him. It ruined some of his dating. Or at least he let it messed his confidence up because the food would constantly get stuck back there. Mm. And he said he felt like he always had bad breath. He's like, that guy takes very good. He's very particular about his teeth and stuff. And
a puddle of onions and garlic.
Yeah, just always filling up in them empty sockets,
like
you know.
And,
exactly.
Got some garlic back there.
Yeah, you probably hide. You know, get pulled over. You probably hide some back there in that cavity and
dry socket.
Yeah. And I just the way he told me the story, the bad breath that he said he had from food always being packed in it. So I was like, God, man, I hope I never have that.
And
knock on wood. At this point, 36, I don't think
you're good. If they're in there, you're fine.
As long as you don't have a tooth pulled and then after you like suck on a straw or a cigarette or something like that.
Yeah,
that'll cause a dry socket like that.
Oh yeah, and that's painful. Like life threatening.
I don't know if it's life threatening, maybe. I don't know, but if you let it go, painful. So it's more painful than the toothache ever would be.
Yeah. Yikes. Tooth pain is a whole other thing, dude. It completely like consumes your brain.
Yes.
And mind.
Maybe because it's so close to your brain.
Yeah, probably.
But for whatever reason, you're right, it consumes your entire thoughts.
Yeah. Can't focus, can't think.
Like a back problem, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't sit down.
They've tied a big reason why people didn't live longer back in the day was because of how bad their teeth were.
I imagine.
That when your teeth, just like any part of your body, if you've got some part of your body that's just rotting away and your body's putting so much energy to try to reverse that now you just die because your immune system's way too, it's preoccupied with your teeth.
And there's a lot of dementia that has been tied to the lack of taking care of, you know, rotting teeth, not just not going to the dentist. You know, obviously not going to the dentist didn't do you a problem. You still brushed, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The rotting of your teeth in your head can cause that. Ooh, man, that's because that's bacteria right there in your head.
Our grandpa, he got dentures just a few years, like 75. He got dentures put in. He said instantly, like his health, he just started feeling better from it. Like, just
throwing, lifting a tractor.
Hell, I just go ahead and get me some.
Yeah, just knock smash them all out.
Yeah.
Get some.
Yeah. I don't want to die from to death.
that look.
Yeah.
Alone
yeah well,
for me.
Once you adjust them, you know, and get used to it. I've seen people like in their 40s and 50s who got them. I know somebody we were just talking about, a little brother got him in his 30s and just it was weird looking for a while. Just,
big choppers
weren't adjusting and fitting right, you know, and you're like, you've seen somebody a million times.
You bought those
like your
Amazon,
mouth don't look.
Yeah, exactly.
They come through this Tom Cruise set. Like,
no, this dude, he said he paid like $8,000.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah, $8,000 for it.
And now you can get them off Wish, you know, get them off Temu for like 28 cents. And they fit about the same.
Yeah. Now they were made by children.
Exactly.
It's from their teeth.
They're 3D printed.
I'm not dying from my teeth to death.
No.
That's like, that's not happening.
No.
All right. That's going to do it for the show today. Happy holidays.
Yes.
We've got to talk about Thanksgiving.
Had a great one. I moved my daughter back home.
Good.
Oh, that's right. Good.
That was fun.
Yeah.
To your home, right?
Yes.
Our
home for a little while.
She cook you Thanksgiving?
She has. She's cooked all kinds of. Oh, man.
She's cooked me three Thanksgivings.
Yes. In one.
In one go. We'll talk about it. Holiday season is upon us, so we'll join y'all in December, right?
Yeah.
Wait, it'll be December when this comes out.
Okay, sweet. Friday. The 1st. Yeah. December 1st.
This month.
Absolutely.
There you go. All right, then. We'll see y'all next week.
Peace.
Bye.